Why did Peter deny? Why did he deny Jesus? Why? That's a rhetorical question. Despite all the good intentions that Peter had, he had been with Jesus, he loved Jesus, he literally would have done anything for Jesus, but something drove him to deny Jesus when Jesus needed him the most. And that's what we're looking at today. There is something, my friends, called fear. F-E-A-R. That thing called fear will cause you and I sometimes to do certain things that we don't want to do. It will cause us to experience certain emotions and put us in a place sometimes that we don't want to be. We're looking at fear this morning. What is fear? In the case of Peter, it was fear that drove him to deny Jesus three times. He thought he would never, ever do that. So what does fear do to you and I? How does fear exercise spiritual power over you and I? What is the intention of fear? What is fear? So that's what we're looking at this morning in the context of spiritual power. So I got a dictionary definition of what fear means from Google. So if anybody's watching and is like, oh my goodness, I saw that definition yesterday. I'm just putting a disclaimer out there. It's not mine. It's from Google, just for the record. So what is fear? We're looking at fear this morning. The fear that caused Peter to deny Jesus. The fear that drives you and I sometimes. How do we deal with this? How do we address this? But let's start with the definition, the Google definition of fear. It says here, fear is an unpleasant, subjective, emotional state arising in response to perceived dangers or threats. It says these changes frequently lead to the behavioral reactions such as fight or flight responses. It's the feeling of dread. In extreme cases, it causes us to freeze up. So this is saying that fear is an unpleasant emotional response. It says sometimes it's a feeling of dread arising from perceived danger. So what does that mean to us? What does fear try to do to you and I? I'll look at a number of things and we'll look at how we address that as well. You know, nowadays, when I was much younger, I think I must have been about 16 or 17. Young guy, no care in the world, so to speak. Something happened to me for a long period of time, and I didn't really understand what it was. I would wake up in the morning, and the moment I woke up, my mind will come under such pressure that I would be thinking about all the worst things that could happen to me in the future. I would be worrying, am I going to graduate from school? Am I going to get a job? If I got a job, will I have enough money to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish? Would I be able to do this? Would I be able to do that? And I would worry from morning till night. And at the end of the day, I would be exhausted. Not from any physical activity at all, but from the weight of my thinking, from the weight of worrying. And that worrying and fear of the future would drain all the energy from me. And that happened to me over and over and over again. But at that age, I just couldn't understand what was going on with me. So at that point, what fear did to me was to grab my mind, drain my energy, and just cause me to be emotionally exhausted. That was what fear did to me then. So we look at a number of things here. What is fear? Now, I read like a dictionary definition of fear of what I would call normal fear. But there's another kind of fear that I'm going to look at this morning. There's a fear, this thing happens in my house sometimes, at our house sometimes, where, is she here? Yeah. When, I mean, this doesn't happen often. I mean, my daughter is, she's the one actually. Suddenly, I'm in my study and I hear, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, what is happening here?" And I rush out. I'm thinking, "Oh, what is happening?" And she says, "Spider." Spider. And I'm like, you know, as a good dad, you're not going to react and say, "Oh, is that it?" I'm like, "Oh, sweetheart, spider, spider. Okay, okay, just give me some time. And I'll go get my..." She'd be like, "Oh, Dad, don't touch it, don't touch it. Are you going to get, are you going to get a stick? Are you going to get..." Oh, this is my daughter. Where's she? She's like, "Oh, don't touch it. Oh, don't..." You know, I'm like, "Okay, okay, I now go, I get like a broom and all that." I'm like, then I get it. That kind of thing doesn't happen to you guys. You guys are just like... So for her, that's like, that's real fear. So what does fear have to do with all this? So that is kind of like normal fear. You see something that's a bit threatening, and you're reacting in that way. But there's another kind of fear that I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." So there is a spirit of fear. There is a spirit of fear. And, you know, apologies. I mean, I'm not here to scare anybody, to say, oh, my goodness, spirit of fear. That's what the Bible says. There is a spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear is a spiritual spirit. And it comes to torment us sometimes. It comes to create situations around us, tell us things in our minds that cause us to fear unnecessarily. That's what the spirit of fear does. So what does fear do? I'll read three points here, then I'll mention a few things, then we'll pray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says in this portion of scripture, it says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with torment. He who is fearful is not made perfect in love. So what fear does to us sometimes, or wants to do to us, is to torment us, to torment our minds. I know, I've come across a lot of people in London, and as, you know, in a number of places I've been. And on the outside, they look like everything is perfect, they're smiling, they've got everything figured out, so to speak, and all that, but inside, they're experiencing torment, and they're not quite sure how to express that torment that they're experiencing to anyone at all. So fear wants to torment you and I. Fear of the future. You switch on the news now, and it's like, oh, or you, well, people don't switch on the news now. You look at the news on YouTube. But back in the day, you had to like switch on the telly. You switch on the news, you're watching YouTube, and you're hearing, oh, this company just sacked 10,000 people, lost their jobs. Go to the next piece of news. The cost of living has risen. The electricity bills going up, council tax. Those guys are, you know, I get these letters from them. If anybody works in the council, I love you still, but everything seems to be skyrocketing. And you're now thinking to yourself, my goodness, how am I going to survive? What is my life going to be like? And that fear causes us a kind of constant torment and distress. Fear wants to torment us. The next one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said, look, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? So the second kind of fear we experience sometimes is fear about the future. Fear about the future. What's going to happen to me next year? What's going to happen to my cousin, my niece? I'm experiencing this at this particular time. Am I going to get better? And we have all these things that Jesus mentioned about the future. Fear about the future. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. Okay, let me skip that one. The third one, I'll just go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 15. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shed in their humanity, so that by his death he could break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery to the fear of death. So the third thing is this, fear wants to keep you and I captive. Fear wants to tell you that, look, you're just going to die tomorrow. Or, what's going to happen if this happens to you? What's going to happen if this happens to you? So, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that fear is real in our everyday lives. And it was the same fear that caused Peter to deny Jesus. In our own life, maybe in your life or in my life, it might not be causing you to deny anybody in your life, but it might be causing you to worry about tomorrow. It might be causing you in your mind to be like agitated, to say, okay, look, what's really happening with me? It might be causing you all sorts of things, this business of fear. And, you know, there are times that one is experiencing fear and one doesn't really know what to do about it. So it now begs the question this morning, how do we deal with fear? How can I begin to go to the place where I'm not worried constantly about the future, even though the news around me is indicating that I should be worried? How can I begin to live in the place perpetually where everything around me seems to be a bit odd, but I'm still able to live a life that is joyful? I'm still able to enjoy life. I'm still able to have like peace of mind. How can I come to this place? We'll look at a number of things this morning, then we'll pray. You know, the point that I'm about to make now, they're really simple. They're not like they call it like the silver bullet, saying do this, do that, no fear, ever. If I could do that, I'll be on YouTube now and I'll be, you know those people that say, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Then I'll say, you know what? I have the cure. And if you're experiencing this kind of thing, just I have the solution to it. If you're experiencing that, then as you're reading down my page, and it now says the answer is, then it says subscribe to my YouTube channel. Click this link, and you get the full details. So that's what I should do. So maybe I should stop this sermon and say, okay, if you want to hear how we deal with fear, subscribe to Pastor B's YouTube channel, but I don't have a YouTube channel. So how do we deal with fear? Three things I believe that can help us. The first is from James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. And I'll paraphrase. What that portion of scripture is telling us is this. You and I have to come to the place, mentally, where you realize that, and you agree with yourself that, you can't control the future. You can't. Now, you might say, I mean, isn't that obvious? It's obvious that you can't control the future. But I think you and I have to make peace with that. You and I need to have a conversation with ourselves and say, okay, look, the prices of whatever it is are skyrocketing. Yes, the economy is saying this. Yes, I'm looking at my kids and, you know, this is happening. Yes, that is happening. But we need to come to the place, I believe, where we agree with ourselves that, look, as much as I would love to control the future, I cannot. You can't. And that would help you and I to not worry about the future. Now, am I saying we should take a fatalistic approach where, well, whatever happens, happens? No, I'm not saying that. We still need to think about the future, see how we're going to do what we want to do, plan and all those things. But what I'm saying this morning is where you and I agree consciously to say, look, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm cool with that. As life unfolds, I will deal with it. You can't control the future. That's the first thing, and James tells us that. Two more things, then I'll be done. I was at a birthday party yesterday, and I was telling the celebrant something, and I told everybody that was there. You know, I went to that birthday party, and I thought, well, look, let's just have a really big, massive burger and all those things, and they just whispered and said, okay, can you just say something to everybody that is here? And I made this point to everybody that was present yesterday. And the point I made was from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that's the second point I'm going to make, about dealing with the future that you and I do not know about. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says something. If you put on the NIV version, but I'll read that from here. The NIV version says something. It says, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, God could have just said, I know the plans that I have for you, and he stops there, and that would have been fine. But so that you and I are 100% clear of what kind of plan he has for us, he elaborates on that plan. He says, first of all, one of the things I have is plans to prosper you, plans to help you, plans to help you succeed in the things that you endeavor to do. He could have stopped there, but he didn't still. He now goes on and he says, and not to harm you. Sometimes we think that, look, I've done one or two things and God is punishing me for my sins. I met a gentleman yesterday and he said, you know what, Pastor B, I've done a few bad things and I think God's going to get me for them. And he was serious. God says he's not the one punishing you. You might be suffering the consequences of wrong decisions. But God says, no, I'm not the one that is punishing you. I'm not going to punish you in the future. I'm not waiting to get you at the corner. And he says to give you hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. So, from the first point I made, even though we can't control the future, even though we might not know what is going to happen next week with the way things are going, this second point gives you and I an assurance from God. And God is saying, look, for your future, it's not a random future at all. I have a definite plan. And that plan is not to harm you. That plan is not to get you. It's not to punish you. It's to help you. To give you hope. And the future. That's what he says. How do we deal with fear? Fear coming up in your life, what's going to happen? Da, 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 da. Am I going to make it next year? This thing that has been happening, is it? Relax. You don't know what's going to happen, but reassure yourself that God knows, and he says the plans that he has for you are good ones. Do you understand? Good ones. Now you might be like, oh, one of these motivational preachers again. God's going to do this. No. We're reading the Bible together. No. That's what he says. Finally, how do we deal with fear as well? The last point I want to make is this. If you and I are going to deal with fear successfully and remain in the place where you are not bamboozled, what does that word bamboozled mean? I don't know. Someone can Google that. You're not crushed. You're not in a state where you're under pressure all the time. You and I need to do something. And that thing that you and I need to do is this. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. We need to cultivate our relationship with God through the Bible. Through the Bible. So that portion of scripture says something. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, sorry. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that portion of scripture tells us that, look, you and I need to read the Bible. And in reading the Bible, we're not reading it just to get the knowledge to say, okay, I know there are 12 apostles, what are their names? Jesus was born. No, not that kind of knowledge. Cultivating our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ. And what that does is this. As you cultivate your relationship with Christ, as you read the word, as you study the word, God will begin to do something supernatural in your heart. The Bible says in John chapter 16, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring comfort to you and I. So as you read the word of God, as you read the Bible, as you listen to messages talking about Jesus, something begins to happen in your heart supernaturally, where fear begins to disappear. The worries of life become far away. And you can wake up every morning and be joyful. You can wake up every morning, irrespective of what's going on around you, and be happy. Do you understand? So I'm going to end there this morning. So what have I said this morning? I've said fear is real in our lives because of the world that we live in. And I said, what fear tries to do, fear tries to give you torment. It causes you and I to worry. It causes us to be afraid. But I've said, in dealing with fear, three things that can help us. Number one, coming to terms with the fact that you do not know the future. So stop worrying about it. Secondly, that even though you do not know the future, God knows the future and God has a plan for you. And thirdly, building your relationship with God so that he can encourage you. He can comfort you. He can help you. Amen. I'm just going to pray. And Sister Tisha would take a song for us. Father, this morning I commit your church into your hands. I commit everybody that is here into your hands. Father, your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Father, I pray this morning that for everyone here or anyone here who is experiencing fear in their minds, Father, I loose that fear in the name of Jesus from them. Father, I speak this morning. Your word says in the book of John chapter 14, verse 27, it says that you give us a supernatural kind of peace, the kind of peace that we can't get from anywhere. Father, I speak peace into every situation in this place. For anyone who is experiencing trouble in their hearts, receive the peace of God this morning in the name of Jesus. For anyone who is stressed, thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, how about my daughter? I speak peace into that situation as well in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you will guard the hearts and the minds of everyone that is here and everyone that is related to us, everyone that is affiliated with us, that, Lord, you will keep them in perfect peace in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.